And now for something completely different.
It's a rich man's world. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal. The full story. The whole enchilada. The Lance Roberts Show. It's money, markets, life. Now, back by popular demand, it's the Lance Roberts Show.
Welcome to the Lance Roberts Show. I'm Danny Ratliff here with Rich Rosso, Certified Financial Planner. Hope you guys are having a great Go Texan Friday morning. So today we're going to talk about
Richard.
I'm awake. I am awake. Nobody thought we were here. I was on the trail with the trail riders there, and I stopped off. Sorry about that. Thanks,
well,
Danny.
Hanging out with them last night a little too much.
Yeah, I was in bed by 7:30.
Good thing for you, man.
Hey, we're glad you're here. You know, one of the things that I'm always fascinated by. Oh, and welcome. Good morning, everybody. Happy Go Texan Day.
Yeah.
You got your little black cowboy hat on.
Yeah,
I
I didn't think this
you
through.
Danny should be wearing white.
White?
Yeah, because you're the good guy. You're never the bad guy in the Western. That'd be sort of funny, you as the bad guy in the Western. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, you know, I brought my
baby
hat.
Face Ratliff.
Left
is
the bolo.
In town. Uh-oh, is that baby face Ratliff coming into Norfolk? No. Well, yeah. No, not with the black hat. Looks good on you, man.
Hey, thank
I like
you, thank
it.
You. Yeah, tune into Facebook or any of our other media outlets. You can check it out. We are live.
We are live.
I didn't think this through, though. The hat and the headphones just don't work.
No, they do not. But look good before that. You know,
yeah, thanks.
In the spirit of the trail riders and living rustic, I have always been fascinated with tiny homes. And I wrote about it in my book in 2012 because an associate of mine who is the spirit for one of the chapters, Brad, over in Luling, Texas, was really one of the founders of the tinytexashouses.com. He was one of the founders of this revolution, I think so. Well, he's created something called Salvage Texas. When I was there about, I guess I haven't seen him in about 3 years, but about 3 years ago, I went out to this place. It's right off of I-10. And it's just a hodgepodge of, he builds all these houses. He's an artist from all this recycled material from all over the state. Okay. And he comes out and he's probably around 60-ish with this ponytail, and he's got his dogs trailing behind him, and they all want to be pet and all that stuff. But he's such a free spirit, right? And he has all this land, and he goes, one day I'm gonna build myself a commune here, and you're gonna be able to stay, and we're gonna have this, and we're gonna do that. And I'm like, yeah. And I could see it, and every time I pass, I never see it. Well, I checked it out, and he has created this Salvage Texas, and what he's done, he has created this community. With, you know, again, builds these houses that are 95% pure salvage. He's got this village where you can actually stay in one of the tiny homes. He's also going to have a marketplace, a communal garden. And, you know, one of the things I wrote about in my book in 2012 was that I think that in retirement, people are going to have to really face reality of an imperfect retirement and living smaller. And you're just starting to see this tiny home revolution start. I begin. I think it's a slow simmer, and of course, I'm going to give you some ideas of, hey, if you're going to consider doing this, you may want to. There are some things you definitely have to do. There's a romance behind it, but you really got to think about it. And there's even a show, I think, on HGTV, Tiny Texas Houses, Tiny Homes, where people just go in there and you have to see them how they have to downsize to fit into. What the heck is a tiny home, Danny? 400, 800 square feet. Personally, I think about 1,000 would be okay for me.
Yeah.
That's really 400 to 800 square feet. And it's amazing. And Brad's got some homes there that are 69 to 80 square feet.
Oh, my goodness.
But the funniest part is you don't feel like every little bit, every space is used, and you walk in there and it's got a ladder up to rafters where there's a bedroom. You don't really feel that it's that small. And I always ask myself is whether I'm in retirement or not, or people that we work with that are gearing up to retirement, how much stuff do you really need before it feels like a burden on you?
Yeah.
And I think the people that are embracing smaller homes are feeling that way. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you see this whole society is starting to go towards this minimalist ideal. And I think it's a great thing, especially when, you know, you think about read an article this morning and it's something says, they said no financial planners or seminars or workshops ever talk about the one thing that's going to determine your success in retirement, which is purpose. And you and I actually talk about this in our Right Lane workshop.
By the way,
we have another one coming up March 9th in Katy. Go to RIAadvisors.com, the events tab, sign up. But this is a big deal. And so I think when you start putting stuff to the side and reengaging with life, I mean, you know, put the phone down. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about all the additional things. Life gets a whole lot better because you really realize and refocus on what's important. And so I tell you one thing, though. I'm going to be extremely upset if in 30 years you're not in a small house in a tiny home.
I will
be. As much as you talk about this.
I will be. And there is a town that I'm looking at right now.
Where is it?
Spur, Texas. Okay? West Texas. Okay? They have embraced the tiny home movement. They say, you come to us. Now, their population is around 1,000, so personally it's a little too crowded for me. But they are building this tiny home community. If you go to spurfreedom.org, you can see what they're doing. They have these new strategies. They have builders there that will accommodate you. They say, listen, this is our proclamation to embrace tiny homes. And they have sort of these images and these stories of people who have moved there to tiny homes. Right, they keep track of the lots sold, how many tiny homes they're building. Right now, they say they've got 11, and their whole logo and all that is "Live Small." I think it's very smart for Spur to do this. I think when they make a representation and they look at stories of the people who are moving there, you know, people that said, you know, I always wanted to retire and write, and this is what I'm doing, or you know, we decided that you know we don't need all this stuff and. So, you know, they got a little link there to meet your tiny housers. So we want to give you when we get back. We don't want to spend too much time on this because I can talk about this all day. If you are going to look to buy a tiny home or build, there are certain things that you must consider. And listen, you might want to broaden your definition of tiny home as well. But hey, you're listening to the Financial Fitness Friday version of the Lance Roberts Show with Rich Rosso and Danny Ratliff on 700. KACV. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When traveling the road to retirement, unforeseen curves like a bear market can delay you. Join RIA Advisors for our next Retirement Right Lane class to guide you past the pitfalls and potholes that could delay your retirement. Saturday, March 9th at 9 a.m., meet us at the Courtyard Houston Katy Mills for coffee, kolaches, and a common sense approach to achieving and excelling in retirement. Register for our Retirement Right Lane class at RIAadvisors.com. The class is free. The information is priceless. RIAadvisors.com.
Message and figure rates may apply.
Ever look at your paycheck and think, there's got to be a better way? Well, here's some news. There is, and I can show it to you. I'm Paula Sagan, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My brother and I have taught thousands of people how to start making money in real estate. Now it's your turn. Next week, we're conducting a free 2-hour educational workshop right here in Houston, where you'll learn some of my secrets, like how to start flipping homes for profit in your spare time, using other people's money, and how to get started putting money in your pocket every month by investing in income properties. Real estate is a powerful tool that has made millions of people wealthy, but you can't start making your first dollar until you take your first step. Come to my free workshop and take advantage of this amazing opportunity. It could mean a lifetime of financial security.
To get 2 free tickets to Paul's workshop, text your 5-digit zip code to 37,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your 5-digit zip code to 37,000. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Just text your zip code to 37,000.
Office is located 1 Sugar Creek Center, Sugarland, Texas.
Have you thought about refinancing your mortgage while rates are still low? It's time to take a serious look and see what you can get.
Hi, I'm Kathy with Baker Mortgage. It's not just about the rate or the payment. That alone won't tell you if it's a good deal. That's like shopping only by the APR, and that's not smart either. Your best deal is also not the one in your mailbox. Do you have credit card debt, car payments, or student loans that could be eliminated with a cash-out refinance? It's not only about improving your cash flow, but stopping the bleeding on the other. Bottom line, it's just restructuring in a way that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, we're going to tell you, just like we've been doing for 60 years. Remember, we want to help you, but we're not going to help you over a cliff. Call us at Baker Mortgage. I promise you'll be glad you did. We're at 281-313-6683. That's 281-313-MOVE or go directly to bakermortgage.com.
Equal housing lender. License 263-213.
And we are back from the Lance Roberts Show, the Financial Fitness Friday version. The version Lance doesn't like to talk about. He just goes, oh, that Friday thing.
Doesn't he, Danny?
He's like,
yeah, he thinks financial planning is boring.
He does. He really does. He'd rather stay with the charts. Hey, listen, he's great at that. So let him do what he's best at. Hey, and one myth we want to share with you, and we hear a lot, is that when it comes to Medicare, and we cover Medicare, and we have a seminar coming up, our Lunch and Learn. That's coming up on what, February 27th?
February 27th. So, yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about Medicare, some of the expenses that you can see in retirement. And one of the biggest myths that we hear is that Medicare takes care of long-term care. And that is something, actually, they are making some changes maybe to potentially cover
they
down the road.
Our Medicare Advantage, which is not one of my favorite areas, and we talk about that, is trying to make some inroads. There's some private sector involvement that's making Medicare Advantage more robust and looking to add long-term care. But long-term care, of course, is just your acts of living, your you know, whether you need help with eating or bathing and so forth. Now, there is a level of nursing home care for a certain number of days that Medicare will cover, but it will not cover custodial care. And nor will Medicare cover every health care cost. Yep. And I tell people, we tell them at the workshop, right, when you get Medicare, it's like purchasing Swiss cheese. You've got to now fill the holes with additional insurance. And these are some of the things that we talk about. So don't think Medicare covers everything, including long-term care. Long-term care is not health care. And we were talking about these tiny homes. And, you know, Danny, so when I look at I spend a little bit too much time looking at land across Texas and so forth. And when you buy land, one of the things you got to keep in mind is if you want to build a tiny home, it's not that easy because you got to look at the housing regulations of that land, yeah, right? Yeah. Or that area, because if they have an HOA, most likely they're looking at your tiny home as an RV. And that's not what they want. So there's I think a lot of these areas are going to have to
look changes
to accommodate what's going to happen over the next 20, 30 years. And I don't think they're ready yet because they'll, you know, and I've called one place in Colorado and I said, hey, if I want to put a house that's 400, 500 square feet. And they go, nope, won't do that. Your house has to be a minimum. So you better check if this is something you want to do. You got to consider the plot of land you're going to sit. How are you going to get utilities? You're going to have to have a propane delivery truck come in, right? You're not living off the grid, but you're somewhat off the grid when you have to do this and when you have to connect land, power, and so forth to your property. I think Texas residents of Texas are probably very well equipped to understand this more than other areas.
Well, you know, I picture yours out in the mountains somewhere, and you're going to have some hunter come stumbling upon it and think it's an outhouse because of the size.
That is going to happen. I'm going to have to put one of those porta potties out there, and all the dogs will alert me.
Have a moon cut out on the door.
Yeah. Now, I think this is the biggest one, Danny. This one might be big for you guys. I think if you're married, especially, but the emotional work. One, I think you need to have a test run. Yeah, and like on this show, tiny houses.
Yeah.
They live in an RV for a while because these close quarters, and not only that, you have to really part with probably about 80 to 90% of your stuff. And when it comes to reality, that may be a challenge for you.
I agree. Look, I mean, I've got three kids, and I feel like we're in a tiny house because they chase you around all day, right?
I know, and that 10,000 square foot house feels really small.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, even though if you love your spouse, it doesn't matter. It's just that, you know, as soon as you turn your back, he's there, she's there. And what do we see in retirement sometimes? When we call, what I call it, that decoupled retirement, one party's retired and the other one isn't?
Yeah. Well, one of
or one is retired for a long time or a stay at home and the other one now retires and follows the other one all over the place because he or she is sort of lost.
Yeah. And then that the other one who's been retired goes back to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, I can't handle this. And I see that happen more often than not.
No,
you know?
We're not kidding.
Yeah. I talk to clients that are working way past retirement years. You know, we talk regularly and, hey, man, what's going on? Well, you know, my spouse retired and, got a honey-do list here, honey-do list at work. I don't get yelled at work. At least not so much.
Yeah, why is he following me to the hair salon? I get that one. Yeah. Why is he sitting there?
Why is he stalking me?
Yeah.
So
I'm not used to this.
Well, and it goes back to finding your purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Finding, knowing, going in, like you call it, the psychological black hole of retirement, those first mm-hmm. years you run into. You've got to figure those things out prior to stepping in. You know, we talk about how we practice to do everything in life but retirement. You're expected to flip a switch one day. Walk in and say, all right, here we are. What do we do now?
And yeah, following your spouse to the mall is not a purpose.
Oh, man.
So transitioning to retirement, there's a lot of focus on the money part. But there's a heck of an emotional part. If you go to Real Investment Advice and you type in black hole, we've written pieces about this because no matter how much money you have or whatever your lifestyle is going to look like for the money you have, there is this emotional hurdle, and I call it the crossover risk, where you're going from this accumulation phase to distribution phase. And if you don't have that purpose, and matter of fact, there are studies, right, that show that men who retire at age 62, and many times they do because they can collect Social Security early, which is also not a very good idea for many people, at least we don't think so, that they lose purpose and they die sooner. I mean, there's studies about this.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that mission or purpose, it just, well, maybe it's a repurpose, right? Because you have to think about, well, what did I do at work? That what are the skill sets that I have that I can now transfer over to something that I really would like to do when I move into that next stage?
You know what's funny is that we talk to people often, like, hey, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do? And, you know, people daydream and think, man, if I could only do this, if I didn't have to, weren't tied to this desk. And jot those things down. Start thinking about what you can do, because here's the way I would look at this. This is what I tell clients frequently. Hey, you have a blank canvas here. You get to paint and envision and do what you want. And so let's figure out the best way to do it. Now, you should probably involve your spouse to some extent, so you're not following them around to the mall, but you need to find things that you enjoy doing individually mm-hmm. that provide purpose. That may be volunteering. It may be going, you know, speaking of canvases, maybe painting or art, or it may be, fishing. Could be a number of things. But and then find something you guys enjoy to do together, because that's going to be a big key in retirement, is you're going to have some time together, unfortunately, or fortunately.
That's a Freudian slip right there.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean that. My mother locks my dad out of the house for the day. Go do your thing. Come back when it gets dark.
Does she ever change the locks?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not that bad.
Well, that would be
expensive. I'm being somewhat facetious, but he stays outside all day. Does his thing.
I could see him like Grandpa Simpson. Let me in. You ever see that?
Yeah.
When Homer like closes the blinds and stuff. That's sort of rude.
You ignore him, he'll leave.
You know.
But it gets him going, probably. Like, he's got to go. And she's really trying to motivate him, is what she's trying to do.
Both my parents will be 90 this year.
Wow.
They still go to the gym on a regular basis.
Wow.
He works in the yard all day, and that's what keeps him going.
Excellent.
Keeps him fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what age did he retire?
Oh, man, he's been retired for 25 years, 30 years.
Wow, okay.
That's great.
From the school district.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's got, like, a pension.
Yes. Yeah. Teacher's retirement.
What is that? Pension.
It's a blast from the past.
It is. But one of those things, and we find that people that are pushed into retirement, say they're going to get a package from their work, right? They're not prepared. They're maybe financially prepared, but they're not mentally or emotionally prepared to take the leap. So sometimes there's something called transition to retirement, where people will say, you know what? And we suggest this, right? Go get a part-time job. Don't ease into it. Maybe you're going to be a consultant for a while.
And we see that happen often, right? When when we see our clients take packages, right? All of a sudden, like 3 months later, they're getting a call from their former company. Hey, you know, we need somebody to help train. And I'm like, go ahead and do that. Even though you may not need the money, even though it's helpful, it at least transitions you and moves you slowly into the pool of water of retirement as opposed to going in ice cold. And as opposed to people who plan for it. And like you said, you're bringing up questions that are going to help them decide what am I going to do? How am I going to bridge over to different hobbies? Because the one thing when I ask people who I talk to, and I'm sure you do, Danny, is what do you do? What are you going to do? And they go, I don't know. That troubles me.
Yeah.
It's almost like they have to go through, or you have to go through a fact-finding mission to figure out what's going to be important to you once you leave your job.
Well, and if you don't know, that's not the end of the world. I mean, no. But you need to spend some time, do some exercises to figure out what it is that you'd like to do. And hey, test the water. Go figure it out. Go rent a bike or rent fishing poles or go volunteer at the food bank, and you'll start figuring out what brings you joy and what makes you happy and provides that purpose.
I wonder if I should start a business of changing locks on spouses and say, hey, you go out for the day and don't you come back.
You know, I'm afraid somebody's beat you to that, but.
Well, they have life lock. I'm thinking retire lock or something like that that keeps people out of the house.
Retiree lock.
You just need the electronic doors, right? You just hit the button.
But it is. It's not. And we do talk about this at the Right Lane Workshop and class that, hey, these are things that you have to qualitative issues that you have to look at. You know, one of the things we want to talk to you about is the greatest, speaking of retirement, is the retirement savings account you don't care about, but you should. And what is that, Danny?
That's the health savings account. You know, and these things have gained a lot more popularity as of recent, especially with a lot of employers switching to high deductible health insurance plans. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what's happened is employers have passed the burden on to the employees as far as health care costs. So being under these high deductible plans allows you to actually contribute to an HSA, health savings account. Now, here's the coolest thing about this account. This gives you a triple tax benefit. This is the only account I think, in the world that's going to give you that type of benefit. You're going to put the funds in pre-tax. Mm-hmm. They're going to grow tax-free, assuming on the back end you're going to use them for medical expenses. Now, I know a lot of you guys may say, hey, you know what? I can't afford to not, you know, to let those funds grow. I need to use these on an annualized basis, and I get it. But if you can figure out a way to go ahead and actually, you know, live off your paychecks, pay your medical expenses with that, if you're healthy now, that's great. But go ahead and put those funds aside, because there's ways that you can actually make a little bit of money on it. You get that tax-free growth, and in retirement, that's going to be an excellent pot to have, especially if we do see higher taxes down the road. But hey, guys, you are listening to The Lance Roberts Show with Rich Rosso, Danny Ratliff. We'll be right back after this short break. Of silver screen quotations, and if you want these kind of dreams, it's California Geisha.
Catch Lance Roberts podcast later at lanceroberts.com.
The new professional version of Real Investment Advice is RIA Pro, and it's loaded with the Lance Roberts proprietary stock and ETF analysis and all of the critical investment information you need, all in one place. And now you can try it out for free for 30 days. Subscribe now at realinvestmentadvice.com. Click on the RIA Pro tab and use the coupon code PRO30. That's realinvestmentadvice.com. Click on the RIA Pro tab and get 30 days free with coupon code PRO30. RIA Pro.
Blood clots are life-saving when they stop your bleeding, but they can form when they aren't needed and cause a heart attack, stroke, lung damage, and death. Venous thromboembolism, or VTE, is when a clot forms in a deep vein, usually in the leg, then travels to the lungs and blocks blood supply. VTE affects around 600,000 Americans each year. You're at risk as you age, and if you've had recent surgery, a serious injury, or been still for a long time from a hospital stay, bed rest, or travel. Also, if you have a personal or family history of deep vein clots, smoke, or are overweight, seek medical attention if you experience swelling, pain or tenderness, or warmth and redness. If you have sudden shortness of breath, chest pain, or cough up blood, call 911 immediately. The good news is that VTE can be prevented and treated. Learn more at agingresearch.org/VTE. Brought to you by the Alliance for Aging Research.
Ask any landscape professional who they depend on for professional-grade chainsaws, blowers, and trimmers, and the answer is always the same. Echo.
Echo.
Ask any equipment dealer for the most reliable tools on the market backed by a 5-year consumer warranty, and they'll tell you Echo.
Echo.
So when it's time to go to work on your lawn and garden, ask yourself, don't you deserve the best power equipment money can buy? Put an Echo,
Echo.
In your garage. Call 800-432-ECHO or visit echo-usa.com for the dealer nearest you.
Hi, everybody. Paul Berlin. Well, we're bringing back music and memories of those good old days.
Paul Berlin is sponsored by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods, with the largest selection of wine and spirits in the country. With over 50 locations all over Houston, you will find a Specs location near you. Be sure to like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram, Specs Wine, Spirits, and Fine Foods.
The Paul Berlin Show, Saturday night, 6 to 8, KSAV in Heavenly Houston.
Can you put a price on a good night's sleep? Hey, everybody, it's Chris Salcedo. I wasn't sleeping well at all. That's why I have the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Now I get proven quality sleep by adjusting my sleep number, the firmness of my mattress. My number is 85, by the way. You're only going to find this technology at a Sleep Number store. Come in during the Ultimate Sleep Number event. A Queen 360 smart bed starts at only $899. And you can save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You can't afford a bad night's sleep, but you can afford a Sleep Number bed at a Sleep Number store near you. The Woodlands off I-45 South next to Ethan Allen and Red Lobster. The Deerbrook Mall, lower level next to Barnes & Noble. And the Galleria Houston, level one next to Top Shop and the Kona Grill. Do what I did and discover the difference a Sleep Number bed can make in your life and your sleep. Head to your nearest Sleep Number store and tell them Chris Salcedo sent you in.
From county judge to county clerk. From running the court system to running elections. From building roads to building communities. Learn more about how your county helps you at TexasCountiesDeliver.org. Sponsored by Texas Association of Counties.
Plenty of clouds for today and tonight, as well as a little rain on occasion. Highs will be near 74 today, and we'll have a low of 61 tonight. And tomorrow, some rain at times again in the morning, along with a thunderstorm. But the afternoon will be breezy and warmer with some sun returning, high about 74. Sun and some clouds with a high of 68 on Sunday. We'll have low humidity as well. With the KSCV Weather Center forecast, I'm Heather Zayer.
And we are back on the Friday edition of the Lance Roberts Show, Financial Fitness Friday. Rich Rosso, Danny Ratliff. So imagine that you're headed out one night and you just decide before the liquor store closed that you're going to go and play Powerball. Just because, you know, before the store closed, just in the nick of time, I want to get a couple tickets because the jackpot reaches $260 million. You go for dinner and the next day you find out you win $1 million.
Not a bad night.
It just shows you, right? You just perfect timing, right? I'm a big fan of the lottery. I know this is going to sound crazy, right? Okay. Do you know why?
Why?
I'm not a big fan of people that are saying, okay, I'm going to spend all this money. But a lot of financial pundits you listen to on the radio, they always say, that's horrible. Disgusting. Why would you throw your money away? It's so ridiculous. Well, first of all, stocks are gambling. Sorry, but they are. It's more legal in a way, and you have a better chance of winning, okay? But sorry, there's all different levels of gambling. But let me tell you something. You buy a scratch-off ticket. How much does a movie cost?
When you go to a movie, no idea.
$20, $25 to go to a movie?
Sure.
Whatever it is, okay? By the time, yeah, you by the time you get two people in there, it's $50, $60, okay?
Okay.
I buy a scratch-off for $2. And I start scratching, and I'm imagining in my head, if I win, all the things I'm going to do.
You're going to build a tiny house
yeah,
commune?
Yeah, I'm going to build like a commune, right? Everybody's going to be in like yoga pants. And
tiny houses.
Yes.
And the richest is going to be 5 miles away.
Oh, no, it isn't. You won't be able to find me.
No, I'm saying 5 miles away from your commune.
Yes, but the point is, what I'm saying is,
there's something called endorphins that get released in your brain that make you feel good, okay?
Yep.
For $2, all right, for $2 and scratching that ticket and all the fantasy I'm coming up with in my head of what I'm going to do with the money, I've had more fun with that ticket than I had going to the movies and spending $25. In other words, I got a lot of enjoyment for $2.
Yeah.
Where else am I going to get enjoyment for $2? So what I'm saying is everything in moderation. Everything in moderation. The industry is always trying to spoon feed you vegetables, right? Sometimes you want a little chocolate, right? And it's good for you, right? All this. So when you're looking at your finances, if you're going to try to be very strict in what you do, or you're going to micro budget and you're going to cut out the coffee that you love and all that, guess what? You are going to fail. Okay? Just like if you read a book or someone tells you, listen, you need $3 million to retire. Well, what the heck? Why do I even bother? I mean, I have people that will say this. You know, my advisor says I need $1.5 million. You know what? Why bother? Why even bother to save? Why don't we give people hope in a way of giving them good habits to get to something that they can accomplish and making the best of what they can do, right? Instead of trying to dish out information that's all or none, right? If you sell your stocks, if you sell, you're a trader. You're not a risk manager, right? You're just how dare you sell a stock, right? How dare you do that? Because that means you're a market timer. Or how dare you buy a lottery ticket? Do you realize that's like the worst use of money? I mean, in other words, we gotta like work with real lives as opposed to fantasy. And I think a lot of advisors and brokers and pundits work in financial fantasy. It's just my own 2 cents on that.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. I mean, look, just like you mentioned with the stocks, I can't tell you how many times we hear, well, you know what? I have 10 years. This is a good company. It's going to be great. No need to sell it. Well, guess what? Lots of great companies go down. And if we know we can step out, step back in, go for it. You know, like you mentioned, there's an art to this, but a lot of this is gambling to some extent. Mm-hmm. And it's probably, you know what? The biggest aspect, I think there's a way that it's not, but where it's really gambling is when you don't have the resources to actually really dive in or the knowledge to understand when things are expensive, when things are cheap. And
you take too much risk
too much
because you're looking
often
at stocks that are very speculative and you lose everything. Okay. You don't wrap rules around something you buy that's very speculative. Look, we see it with Bitcoin, mm-hmm. right? Cryptocurrencies. I know people that got into crypto currencies really early, and my advice to them was sell, keep selling. They say, are you broken? Did you have something wrong with you? No. Every time you have a profit, you sell.
Yeah.
Okay. And those people who did that,
they're thankful.
Are very thankful. And they left a little money in, and they say, and I had someone that I talked to the other day was a joke, and he goes, yeah, Rich, you know, I still had, you know, I had like $1,000 or something in some coin, whatever it was, and now it's worth 300. But the reason he's laughing about it is he's made so much profit along the way, he just kept a little residual in there. So you got to understand what terrain, you know, if you're going to buy ExxonMobil or you're going to buy large company stock, listen, even they have issues.
Good
like
companies
can go down. We're seeing
that
with Kraft Heinz this morning, right? All of a sudden, out of the blue, we get news last night. They're cutting their dividend. The SEC's looking into them. They've got a lot of staid brands that are not working. Oscar Mayer, right?
Yeah,
a lot of
Oscar
brands.
Oscar Mayer and Kraft. Yeah, what, they write off $15 billion?
Yeah. So, and that stock's off 20%. Now, it doesn't mean that it just shows you that whatever the stock, it's risky. And if you have profits, there's nothing wrong with taking them. Just like there's nothing wrong in walking into the liquor store or the Snap and Go or whatever the heck you're going and getting yourself a $2 lottery ticket because it feels good to scratch it off and have a daydream about what you would do with the money. Because that's what it's all about. Everything in moderation. So speaking of moderation, although I don't know if this is works or not, or not, listen, we're getting all this talk about tax refunds and that, oh my gosh, my tax refund is not what it was. And right? And part of the fact is we didn't see people adjust their withholding last year to account for the changes in the marginal tax rates.
Correct.
With the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So it's not like people have lost money. It's just that they were paid it along the way. But we love love our refunds. Now, I don't know what the average tax refund is going to wind up being. We have to see.
As of a week ago or so, I think it was, what, about a little over $1,800?
$1,800. So an 83% of tax returns usually receive a refund, which tells me there's really something wrong. And did you realize there's about $1 billion in refunds that go unclaimed?
Really?
Yeah, because people don't file a return. And then these funds are surrendered to the U.S. Treasury.
That's crazy.
So we throw away money by not, you know, doing something smart by managing our W-4. But the thing is what if you do get a refund, what should you do with it? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think people probably spend a lot of it. But one of the things you really got to do is you got to make a dent in those credit card balances. I mean, the average credit card rate is close to 17%, but I think you're paying more than 24%. And I think the average balance or outstanding balance on credit cards for Americans is roughly $6,000 or $7,000. I mean, that's a heck of a lot of interest, 22% to 24%. So you want to make a dent.
It's huge.
In that. So that's one thing you definitely should look to do. And you should also look to invest in your greatest asset. No, it's not your house and it's not your 401k. It's you, right? I mean, you are the creator of the wealth. If there's
That's right.
a new skill or something that you should learn for your business and you're going to pay for an online course, do it, right? If you think it's going to mean more money, listen, we're starting to see somewhat a semblance of wage growth after 20 years, right? But there's a lot of catch-up that people have to make. And frankly, wage growth is only probably going to go so far before technology replaces it, which is one of the reasons why the Fed's in such a conundrum over productivity. Well, why? Because if a company can replace you with technology, they're going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Look at McDonald's.
The cost of labor is tremendous, right? Yeah, look at McDonald's with their kiosks, right?
Well, and you hit the nail on the head, I think, in another aspect is that this can only go so far. So now we finally see wage growth start to move the needle a little bit. But now we see retail sales are down, home prices are down, or home sales are down. You know, we're starting to see a lot of leading indicators that suggest we could be in for trouble ahead, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something we've talked about for a while, which means that you need to take advantage and do all you can do while you can to make sure that you increase your productivity and your human capital.
That's right, because you just might not get a raise without standing out or maybe moving jobs, and maybe you need to change your skill set or look at that. You look at payscale.com, they got 21 of the most valuable career skills that you should take, and you can get an online course from $2,500 to $6,000. Let me tell you, that'll pay off handsomely compared to the stock market. And also, people should maybe look, when we get back, to talk about this, funding a Roth IRA. Foster, you know, get that Roth IRA. It's tax-free. Yeah, you're not going to get a tax cut going in. And then also bolster your cash reserves.
Yeah.
You listen, how many people can't raise $400 to $500?
Way
too
many.
You want to make sure that they do that too. When we come back, I want to talk to you about our financial guardrails. We're going to give you our 5 today and 5 next week that you need to take to heart. You're listening to The Lance Roberts Show on 700 KSEV. Stay with us. We'll be right back. When you hear that music.
Lance Roberts Blog. It's required reading for the informed investor. Catch it today on LanceRobertsShow.com.
You want to open it up?
When traveling the road to retirement, unforeseen curves, like a shift in lower distribution rates, can delay you. Join RIA advisors for our next Retirement Right Lane class to guide you past the pitfalls and potholes that could delay your retirement. Saturday, March 9th at 9 a.m., meet us at the Courtyard Houston Katy Mills for coffee, kolaches, and a common sense approach to achieving and excelling in retirement. Register for our Retirement Right Lane class at RIAadvisors.com. The class is free. The information is priceless. RIAadvisors.com.
KSEV 700 AM.
Now arriving direct from our fisheries. Fresh Florida stone crab claws are back in season at Trulux. From our traps to your table in just hours. Every Monday night, savor unlimited Florida stone crab claws. I invite you to enjoy a one-of-a-kind experience. You can't beat Trulux Fresh on Westheimer, just east of Yorktown.
Lowe's knows you do it right by looking for deals on new appliances because you work too hard for your money not to. We do it right, too, by saving you $600 on a GE stackable washer and dryer pair with Steam Clean. Find deals on new kitchen appliances, too, with up to 35% off select appliance special values on refrigerators, ranges, and more. When it's time for new appliances, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 227. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Universal Propane Grill & Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, is the barbecue kitchen and accessory headquarters. My good friend and owner, Bob Fulton, always emphasizes to me the importance of selling a great quality product, whether it's a new grill or one of the many outdoor kitchen accessories. Bob Fulton and Universal Propane Grill & Light stand behind their products and will only sell you what you need. And Universal Propane Grill & Light only carries top-of-the-line grills and kitchen accessories that are built to last. No knockoffs here that will corrode, break down, and fall apart after a few uses. They have it all, from grill heads, side burners, refrigerators, doors and drawers, and so much more. And be sure to check out all of the great grills on their showroom floor. Shop where all the grill masters go. Universal Propane Grill & Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, just west of 249. Or give Bob a call today at 281-894-8878 or visit their website, gasgrillwarehouse.com. Universal Propane Grill & Lights.
Welcome back to the Lance Roberts Show, Financial Fitness Friday. I'm Danny Ratliff here with Rich Rosso, Certified Financial Planners. Let's talk a little bit about Medicare today, long-term care, HSA accounts. And we're going to be doing a lot of that here actually this week in the office on, or next week in the office on the 27th. We're doing a lunch and learn from 12:30 to 1:30. Love to have you guys come out. Sign up at RIA Advisors. Really discussing getting down in the weeds of managing healthcare costs. This is something that is a big, big topic in retirement, especially with the inflation numbers that we've seen with medical expenses going through the roof year over year. So near and dear to so many. And this is a financial breaker for many plans. So we want to make sure this is well addressed. So we'd love to see you guys come out, riaadvisors.com. Click on the events tab. But as Rich promised, want to jump into some financial guardrails. And these are things that there's a lot of rule of thumbs out there, but these are really a little bit more in depth as far as, you know, what to look at and how to envision these.
I think we created these so that we can help people stay on track.
Yeah.
There are nine of them. We're going to cover a few of them today and a few next week. But they're pitfalls, and they're also wrapped around financial industry dogma that's so entrenched through media channels that we want to break. And one of those guardrails that we want to help you understand is annuities should be planned, not sold. Now, we'll tell you, not all annuities are bad. Unfortunately, they're often sold and not in the best interest of the consumer. So you got to beware of these financial experts who perpetuate annuity false stereotypes because it's a self-serving agenda for their business, okay? Annuities are there to provide lifetime income. Social Security, pensions are annuities, right? Sometimes if you have variable assets, it's not enough. So but what we find is annuities get sold. People don't understand them. They get sold the most expensive ones. You've got to do a plan and then figure out, do you need it? Do I need to recreate my own pension?
Where are most of these bad annuities sold? You know where I'm going with this.
Go ahead.
They're at Perry's. I mean, golly, those guys make a killing off of these annuity guys. And the sad thing
that's
is
like the side order next to the steak. You get a braised annuity.
Well, the worst part about it is that you and I could go in and somebody who's 70 could go in and somebody else who's, you know, 30 could go in and we'd all be sold the exact same product without a plan. And they say, look, it's great. It's great for you too. And look, like you mentioned, annuities can be great if they're used properly and they're done, you know, where you have an intelligent conversation around it and you're educated. The three main things I see an annuity, the good use for, right, is going to be asset preservation, longevity risk.
Yes.
Death benefit. Mm-hmm. Or even if you just went to a simple fixed where you can go get 3.5 to 4%.
Yeah. Just a plain vanilla.
Be out of the market, right?
Yeah. I mean, and we've written studies about this where even annuities can fit into your fixed income or your bond sleeves portfolios. There's no downside risk, but you've got to be careful on how you use them and understand them. Not everybody needs them, but longevity risk, you know,
when planners run plans, it's always to assume you're going to live to 100. Well, that's a nice romantic thought. I can really ruin your retirement, though. I can make you the most I can give you the most lousy retirement in the world, because you might live to 85, but I don't know, you're going to live to 100. Well, we use livingto100.com, which is a longevity calculator. It's Dr. Peel does a great job, 40 questions. You should look to take it out there, not while you're driving, though, because that might shorten. Matter of fact, there's a question there. If you're taking this test while you're driving, subtract 10 years off your life expectancy. did you hear about the guy that hit a trail rider yesterday or hit a horse?
No.
There was an accident with a horse. So some dude hit you got to read it. I'm like, what?
How do you hit a horse? I mean, you know.
Very, very gently.
Well, you know, there were two horses that were poisoned a couple of days ago.
I think the horse was okay. I think the horse was okay, but I mean, people just not looking when they're driving. So,
a couple of horses were poisoned on the trail ride
really?
Earlier this week, and they determined that they had ingested antifreeze. So somebody did it intentionally.
That's horrible. Oh, yeah. Horrible, horrible. Hate hearing that. So watch the guardrails while you're driving. Annuities. Yeah. Should be planned. Not all annuities are bad is the message. The next one is you got to consider a primary residence as a place to reside, not an investment. And Lance talked about this earlier in the week, okay? If you're going to calculate your return from a primary residence, an owner has to track every improvement, add it to the purchase to calculate cost basis. You got taxes, maintenance, whatever you paid in rent versus mortgage payment has to be considered. Yale professor Bob Shiller, who's really created the case, one of the co-creators of the S&P Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index, right? And he's one of my favorite authors, Irrational Exuberance. He says a house is a consumption choice, not an investment. Yeah. And based on his research, real home prices adjusted for inflation have appreciated about 0.6% a year from 1915 to 2015. And of course, there are exceptions. Listen, Austin, I think, is 7-8% a year over the last decade.
Yeah.
I mean, you will get decades where you're going to do very, very well in housing, but you got to be careful of the definition of investment. It tends to be misused when capital is allocated to something big.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, oh, I bought this car. It's an investment. No, an investment is supposed to go up in value. As soon as you drive that car off the lot, I'm going to drive my house off the lot, I think, because I'm going to get an RV. So you got to think of a house as a place to live and maintain perspective and not become house poor, right, Danny? How many times do we share this? What percentage of your income should go toward mortgage payment and how big your mortgage should be? Because people, I think it's 30-40% of take-home pay is now going into pay for a primary residence.
It's way more. It should be 28%. It's 35% total debt. And that's where we're seeing the bigger and bigger problems that you look at debt-to-income ratios. They're flying up. Mm-hmm. And the problem will only be exacerbated if we see higher interest rates, which obviously we're not seeing at the moment, right? We've seen them drop pretty quickly.
You got to stand your guard. Listen, you're going to go buy a house. It's a very emotional decision. I get that. And I respect that. You also have to go in with a plan to say, how much are you willing to spend? You know, one of our guardrails is mortgage debt on a primary resident mortgage, no more than 2x your gross salary. Okay? So if I make $100,000 a year, my mortgage can't be more than $200,000. What you've got to be careful of, and I have a lot of great realtors out there. I love them all. I've got 5,000 followers on Facebook. 4,700 of them are realtors. Is to be careful, because the realtor's going to go, whoa, well, you know, you can afford this amount of home.
Yeah.
No. This is what I'm going to pay. This is what I want. I understand what my capacity is. That's not what I want to do. So you got to make sure and take some of the emotion out of that.
Yeah, I mean, you can even go online and do the mortgage calculator. It'll tell you can afford a home that's $2 million. And you're like, what? No, I can't. You know better, right? But you can actually get a loan sometimes for those types of things, which is scary. That, you know, we are in a society that is, we want bigger, better, and we want it now.
Yes.
And it's a lot easier to get in some regards. And so you need to make sure that you put these guardrails up and make good decisions to protect you and your family.
Yeah. Guardrail 3, and this sort of goes to some of the stuff I said about when you buy a home. Never allow others to cross your personal financial boundaries. And this is a tough lesson, okay? So we see parents who extend themselves, they co-sign for kids. We know people who lend money to friends, family members, only to be disappointed when those loan obligations are not met, okay? it's acceptable when, you know, you're creating a household budget. You want, you have a charitable intentions, you've got gifts, and it's honorable to help people you love. We never discount that.
Yeah.
But you got to upfront understand what the financial impact is going to be to your own personal situation. You've got to know your boundaries. You also know how to use the word no. N-O. Because you can't do it. How many times do we see parents that are taking on student loan debt?
Oh, man.
For their children.
Well,
right?
And how many times have they gotten a pink slip in the mail saying, hey, this is way overdue. Mm-hmm. You need to pay it. And they think, what? What the heck? I can't remember this. And 10 years ago, they signed for their kids.
That's right. So you've got to know what your personal financial boundaries help up to a point you can, but there's a point where you just can't because it's going to place your own financial situation in jeopardy. Number four is you got to create your own financial rules around debt and savings, and you got to stick to them no matter what, right? You have to have this strict debt management and savings habits. And listen, you have excessive debt and limited ability to buffer against financial emergencies. That's going to inhibit you. That's going to create financial vulnerability in your household. So we have a mortgage debt guardrail. I think I got to adjust these for as people get older.
Yeah.
Right? Because we are finding more retirees going into retirement or pre-retirees going into retirement with debt, right? Student loan debt limited to 1 year's worth of total expense, tuition, room and board expenses. I don't care how you cut it up. This is something I followed when I went to school. I took out 1 year worth of student loan debt, but I spread it out over 4 to 5 years. And you got to be careful how you spend it. So people that get overwhelmed with student loan debt, not realizing they're going to have to pay it back. You have a rule, you stick to it. Okay. And we've had kids who have done this, kids of clients we work with, and they've been very successful to minimize or get through college unscathed. Now, some have had to go back to maybe work a little bit. Maybe they have had to extend school for a bit. Maybe they had to wait to go to school, but they stuck to the 1 year rule for student loan debt, and that has worked or served them very
well.
But
in most
well.
Of those instances, they seem to, grades are typically better. They appreciate it quite a bit more. They have a whole lot more vested interest, right?
Yes.
And so you're going to get a lot better end result, I think, when those are the scenarios, if that needs to be the case.
Yep. And then if you have unsecured debt, and credit card debt, auto loan debt, you got to figure out how much of your gross monthly household income is that going to comprise.
Yeah.
Right? And I've seen it go 50, 60%, okay? 25% should be the upper end of your range. I tell people, listen, if you could do 20 to 22%, especially as you're getting close to retirement or less, that's pretty austere because you're thinking about, listen, credit card debt, auto loan debt, anything that's unsecured debt, you're going to keep tight reins. Generally speaking, those are going to be that's going to be the debt that's going to have some of the highest interest rates attached
Correct.
To them, right? And again, auto loan is sort of secure debt. I get that. But guess what? The days of zero interest rates are going away.
Yeah.
You're not seeing that as much anymore. You're going to pay an interest rate to own a car plus the depreciation. So you've got to make these decisions with limits. I can't afford the $75,000 car. Maybe I've got to look at $45,000. Maybe I've got to look at used. You create your own rules. The point is, we give you these guidelines so that you contain yourself and manage debt and savings successfully. When we come back next week, we're going to have our last guardrails as well. And as well as that, they're available at realinvestmentadvice.com. Just go in the search button, tap in financial guardrails. Well, heck, it's been, whoo, boy, that went fast. That went fast. So I hope you all stay dry. You've been listening to Financial Fitness Friday of the Lance Roberts Show. Rich Rosso, Danny Ratliff. Hope you all have a good weekend. Thanks for tuning in. It's a rich man.